I'm Kevin Power, and this is Sascapes, the podcast featuring stories of arts, culture, and heritage in Saskatchewan. Most of us have or will engage with nonprofit organizations at some point in our lives. The nonprofit sector has a significant social and economic impact to any community. And here in Saskatchewan, the nonprofit sector is alive and well. In this episode of Sascapes, you'll learn some staggering statistics on just how many people are employed by the sector and how much money nonprofits contribute to the economic health of Saskatchewan. Well, with so many nonprofit organizations in the province, a partnership which supports this network seemed like a wise initiative, and that's where the Saskatchewan Nonprofit Partnership steps in. This partnership began with a small group of Saskatchewan-based nonprofit professionals to help improve awareness of the impact of the nonprofit sector, with a mission to benefit the sector through networking, public awareness, strategic development, and leadership. This dedicated team takes on the challenge of both working within their own nonprofit organizations and then changing hats, as it were, and contributing to the growth of the SNP. On April 13, 2018, the Saskatchewan Nonprofit Partnership Provincial Summit was held in Saskatoon. The attendance was impressive, to say the least, and at the end of the day, I had a chance to sit down with the team of dedicated individuals who have taken on the task of growing the SNP. I must confess, they are a very fun group, and we had great laughs over some yummy cookies as we discussed the exciting direction in which the SNP is heading. I'm in Saskatoon. It is the end of the Saskatchewan Nonprofit Partnership Summit being held at the Western Development Museum. And so I am joined by some of the members of the SNP to discuss what today was about, what the organization as a whole is about. But first of all, I want to get to know each of you. So in no particular order, I have Heidi Carl from the Boys and Girls Clubs of Saskatoon. And Heidi, you're the Director of Operations. You have the Race for Kids Day coming up in May, correct?
Yes, we do.
Okay, so tell me briefly what that's all about.
Yes, our Race for Kids is our one of our annual fundraisers happening near the end of May, and it's basically a combination of an amazing race, Minute to Win It fundraising event. So we have teams who race around Saskatoon, and they also raise funds before the event begins.
And you make it hard on them racing around
Saskatoon. Absolutely, yep.
Right, excellent. I have also with me Trish Saint-Ange from the CFS, Catholic Family Services, and you are the executive director. You have Taming the Worry Dragon, a program that started in April and goes to the end of May, and I was reading about it, and it's very cool. Tell me a little bit about what that is.
Taming the Worry Dragons is an 8-week group for kids age 9 to 12, I believe, and then we sometimes run it for a little bit older kids as well. And it's a program where kids who have experienced anxiety come for support. They learn how to manage their anxiety. They learn tools and skills to help them through their days. And there's a complimentary the parents meet in another room at the same time where they learn skills about how to support their child with anxiety.
I needed that growing up.
Yeah, a lot of kids need it.
Yeah. Very good. Very excellent. Tracy Mann, the Executive Director of the Community Initiatives Fund, is here. Tell me about the Spokes Drop-In Center in Kindersley.
Oh, well, they are one of the many organizations across the province that we support through funding and grants, and they are doing some really incredible outreach work in their community, and it's always nice to highlight one program, but we fund like over 550 programs across the province who do fantastic work. So it's fun to find one, but it'd be nice to be able to talk about all 550 because there's amazing stuff that's happening at a community level, and we're very happy to be able to support all that.
What we liked about supporting that particular program is we don't get a lot of applications from that kind of west central part of the province, and so it's nice to be able to highlight a program and hopefully encourage other organizations in that part of the province to maybe think about applying to. So,
and they have a very cool music festival there, Grilled Cheesapalooza.
I have to grill cheese.
Which has its own podcast and an amazing story. I have Charlie Pokiak, for the CEO of the Family Services Regina, with me. And Charlie, I would like you to... Well, there's a couple of things that I found interesting on the website. You've got the Regina Run for Women coming up in June. And I thought the Jukebox Mania in October was also very cool. You want to talk a bit about those?
Sure. So our Run for the Women is in June. It's one of our annual events that we put on in partnership with the Foundation of Shoppers Drug Mart. And it's a run to support programs that deal with women facing mental health issues. And it goes to support our Art for the Heart program, which is a healing through creativity program that we run for women that are struggling with depression and anxiety, trauma recovery, loneliness even, and bringing them together and doing some creativity. The run proceeds from the run, and it's a run for women. It's set for through Shoppers Drug Mart.
Okay, great.
So that's where the money goes. But our Art for the Heart is actually open to, it's not just for women, but men come to it as well.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
And some of the guest instructors that we have come in from the community are men, and yeah, it's just a wonderful gathering of people.
Power creativity.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing, eh? I have a frequent guest of the podcast series. Ingrid Kaskoff, the CEO of Heritage Saskatchewan, is with me. Ingrid, what's happening in Heritage Saskatchewan land these days?
There's quite a bit happening. We have an event that we partner with the Johnson Shoyama Graduate School of Public Policy, and it's on sharing the land and different perspectives on land. So we'll be having a one-day event where we've got Trevor Harriet is one of the presenters that will be talking about his latest book and Indigenous Perspectives on Land. And we've got a panel of multi-faith people that will be talking about their perspectives on land. And the whole idea that we're all here together, we have to find a way to share the land. And so that's one event that we have and engage the public policy students in that. And then, of course, as you well know, we're just heading into the regional fairs and provincial fairs for school students age grades 4 through 8. So we're just in the throes of that at the moment. So those are two main projects among others.
Fantastic. And of course, the ongoing intangible cultural heritage work that you're doing. Lastly, I have Amy McNeil here with me, with SARC. And it's your 50th anniversary this year.
It is our 50th anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you very much.
Tell me a bit about this massive organization and all of the... Well, you can't tell me all of the branches that you touch because there's so many, but briefly, what it is that SARC does.
So SARC is the parent organization. So we are turning 50 this year, so that's an exciting time for us. So SARC... as the parent organization started really at the roots of things with disability at the heart of it. SARC is a membership organization. We have about 80 members. We have over 100 members, but about 80 of our members provide direct supports and services to individuals with intellectual disabilities. So what we're really celebrating in our 50th year is just the development and the amazing transformation of disability services over the last 50 years and just how far all of the supports and services have come. And so through our member services division, which is one of three divisions that SARC is responsible for, our member services provides capacity building services to those member agencies, so anywhere from training opportunities and professional development resources. Two, we administer a pension and benefit program. We also have consultants on staff, human resource consultants, and a wide range of other consulting and human resource services available to those other community-based organizations throughout the province. We are other more prominent division within our organization that SARC is the parent company of is SARCan Recycling, which most of the province is very familiar with, and we have 72 depots throughout the province and two processing plants.
And some of the most delightful, humorous human beings you can meet when you walk in with your recycling.
And so our SARCan Recycling depots and that system is also turning 30 this year as well.
Hey, it's Kevin. I hope you're enjoying the episode so far. Just a quick reminder that the SaskApes podcast is available for free on your favorite podcast app, or you can stream it from your browser. Check out the show notes for the link. On the SaskApes homepage, you'll notice something new under the logo called SaskApes Plus. You can't miss it. There's a big button saying support with a heart icon next to it. I'd love it if you could click on that button and help keep this podcast series going. When SaskApes launched in May 2014, it was the first podcast in the province celebrating arts, culture, and heritage. In fact, you'd have been pretty hard-pressed to find any Saskatchewan podcasts. So I'd like to think that we paved the way. It's been because of your support that this podcast is now in its 9th year. Okay, that's it. Enjoy the rest of the episode. I just wanted to say, as I was sort of sitting there looking around the room at all the nonprofits that were here today and all the people who are touched by nonprofit funding, et cetera, that if I were to summarize what nonprofit people are about, it's heart and caring, you know, which really is... takes all of the corporate out of the work that you do. You're all doing stuff that you're very, very passionate and care about. And nonprofits, I think, they define the quality of life in many ways that we have in this province. So, all right. So the floor is open to any of you. You can all chime in. Tell me first about the organization and its history and how y'all came to this point.
So we really started in early 2012, and a group of nonprofit leaders from Saskatchewan attended a national event in Ottawa where we had an opportunity to learn and hear from and connect with other initiatives happening across Canada, either provincially or locally. It's a conversation that we'd had here for many years amongst various people off and on. So when we came back, a few of us got together following that event and said, you know, it's now or never. And let's try and move this work forward. So the idea is a provincial network, nonprofit umbrella organization that can, at a very broad level, support our sector in Saskatchewan to be stronger, to be recognized, to be valued, and to be valued for the contributions that we make to quality of life. So much as you said, individually and organizationally, we're all about heart and caring. And so how do you translate in the way that people see the value in that and that even the sector itself understands the power and the contributions of what we make? So what our goal is to serve the sector on very broad, higher level kinds of issues that would benefit the sector broadly, not about sort of specific service issues or funding issues or things like that. So in a nutshell, that's kind of what we're about.
And you don't all know each other. I mean, you're all so busy, and it's such a huge network. This is the intention to create some kind of cohesion between everybody, yeah.
Yeah. Provincial network. For us, we've been working together for a number of years, and we do this because each of us is individually passionate about and committed to the sector, and our organizations allow us to engage in this work, but it isn't any one of our mandates, and so our contributions are very much
in-kind and volunteer level, yeah. And so we do this because we believe in it.
Yeah. So is this the first summit ever?
We held a first summit in 2012. We had done some feasibility study work after we decided that we would move forward with exploring this. So we held that summit then. We had 150 people from the sector come, hear what the results of the feasibility study were. People confirmed then that they were interested in this concept of an umbrella and to continue to explore that. They articulated lots of questions and concerns that they wanted us to consider. But when we thought about what work we wanted to move forward, we identified that we were really lacking some basic information about who the sector is in this province and what does it look like in terms of size and scope and numbers of volunteers and numbers of employees and all of those kinds of good things. And so today we've come together presenting the results of a survey that we did last year.
So what are some of the things that surprised you that you had not known about between 2012 till now that's occurring in the province?
Well, I didn't realize that we employ almost 80,000 people in the province, that our sector employs almost 80,000, and also that we contribute $4.6 billion through our operations to the economy, with payrolls around $2.5 billion. We had someone in the crowd today take a look at the numbers we'd collected around how many hours of volunteer time go into our province every year. And when we added the minimum wage to those numbers, it came to $154 billion worth of investment through volunteering. Those are massive and significant numbers to help us promote our contribution to the province and to be seen as essential service.
I wonder if the average Saskatchewan resident knows that. We tend to focus on the obvious money generators, corporate.
We had people in the room who are in this sector and who utilize volunteers on a regular basis, who were blown away by those numbers. And it just really speaks to the good decision to do a survey on the state of the nation of Saskatchewan and the nonprofit sector, so that we too can fully appreciate the contribution that's made every day.
So you were sort of discussing the state of things to now, but then I assume also where to go from here. So what were some of the interesting things that came up? Plus, you had a guest speaker from Ontario coming to speak. So what were some of the encouraging things that you heard that you thought you could really most immediately latch onto and move in that direction sooner than later?
Well, I really appreciated some of their journey and how it is a bit of hurry up and wait, and to honor all the process that takes place to get where we want to go. A real nugget for me was this notion of organizations and networks, and how networks serve what we're trying to do, I think, in a very possibilities way. It's not A equals B, so we'll get C. It's more congested than that, and a little bit to learn to be flexible and open and just keep moving forward.
Right.
For me, as the ED of a fairly large provincial association, I think what Kathy Taylor provided, and I know I'll be taking back to our own association, was she really provided clarity around how a network can work and how an association, how provincial associations can fit and really thrive within a network. She provided clarity, the framework and how she explained how they all work and coexist and work really well together, and the differences between an association or an organization and a network, that became really clear for me. And I think that clarity hasn't existed within our association. and our members. They've known that SARC is part of the SMP partnership, and they've a lot of our members and our own board members have wondered about, well, how are the roles different, and, you know, are there going to be overlaps in responsibilities, and how are you going to coexist? And I believe that Kathy provided a lot of clarity today, and I'll be taking that back, and obviously we'll be sharing what she presented. I think it became very clear, and we had some of our own members in the audience today, and I know that I'll be talking with them and seeing if they went away with the same clarity that I know I took from her presentation.
So what is the difference between an organization and a network?
Well, I really believe, I know, for example, what Kathy really focused on, and I know what we do within SARC. We do provide training to our members, and she had talked about what ONN does and then what they don't do. And she was very specific about what they don't do. And now she did indicate that some networks do provide some training in other areas. But she was saying that basically a network is a network of other networks, and that those networks, those other networks are often other organizations and associations, and that's just bringing those organizations all together. And is that
Well, and I think, you know, she talked about a network is it has the ability to be very nimble and
exactly.
very flexible, and it's a self-forming, so if this is the cause, we're going to bring the best people from our groups together to deal with that issue, and then the next time it could be different folks pulled from different areas.
And very sector-wide issues. So I know within our association, primarily our members are drawn from the disability service sector. So their issues are, and the issues that we focus on, or the training that we provide, specifically is related to supporting those individuals that experience disability. But so for us to meet the needs of all CBOs or community-based organizations or nonprofits, that'd be very difficult because those aren't sector-wide. Where a network is focused on sector-wide issues, very global issues, high-level issues.
Wow.
And that is what we as an association have said, that's not our focus. That's got to be somebody else's focus. And I think that that's where SMP can really dive into.
So the network not only assists you, but I would think it almost relieves some of the pressure to be everything to everybody, you know, which is absolutely impossible. I'm sure you all feel stretched as it is already, yeah?
Well, and we all have our own mandates at our own organizations.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I think that was one of the things that she really emphasized, too, that brought clarity for me, and even as part of this organization, is that how diverse we are. So how do you come together? And the whole concept of a network was quite appealing because it provides people to come together. It's flexible. If you need experts in a particular area, that you can draw from a wide network. And I like the statement that she made that even as a network, they're organized. I hesitate using the word organization, but they would look at something and say, you know, we'll be leaders in some areas, we'll monitor in some areas, and in other areas we'll support. And I thought that was an interesting statement that I would take back even to my own organization, because we are an advocacy organization as well, so and do it at a provincial level. So what am I going to lead in, what am I going to support, and what am I going to monitor?
Right.
I thought that was quite good.
I suspect that there's a tremendous amount of overlap in the work that each of you do, that you, some of which you already know, but through this network, you'll begin to discover more overlap in the work that you're doing, yes? I mean, by overlap, I mean similarities in the work. Like, I'm thinking, is there a similarity between CFS and Regina Family Services in some of the, I don't mean that you're serving the same people, but is there a similarity in the kind of work that happens within those two organizations? And does a network give you the opportunity to support each other by saying, well, with us, this is what we did within our organization. Sorry, not to keep overusing the word organization. But, I mean, does that make sense?
Well, yes. Yes, yes and, no. And yeah, and no. So Shelley and I belong to a Family Service Saskatchewan network where we would say we are similar organizations serving similar clients with similar structures for revenue and so on. But this, I don't think, helps us on the issue on the ground in our organization. I think SNP, when we come to this table, we really don't have our organization hats on at all. What I'm interested in and what appeals to me about this work is the high-level comments. Like, for example, we just had our budget come out. I would love an organization who has, like the Ontario Nonprofit Network has, with people who read every word of the budget and then pull out highlights that impact us as a sector. Because I don't have time to do that. All I want is, how does it impact me, right? That's what I need to understand.
Right.
Or policy around living wage. What is that? If the government's moving towards that, what does that mean for me as an organization? Because I can't die in every ditch, right, as an organization. I'm focused on supporting families, vulnerable families in the community, and each of us has our respective mandate and mission. So that really doesn't come to the table with SNP.
Okay.
What is at the table is, how can we elevate the sector to be who we can be on the ground? If an organization could elevate the dialogue around the value of the sector and some of this high level policy dialogue, then we can do our work better on the ground. Disabilities, boys and girls, culture and heritage, family service, those things are going to benefit from the high-level work, but they're not the work of SNP.
Right. Right. So that's challenging, yes?
It's a bit mind-bending.
Yes.
Like, what we have learned over the last years as we've navigated this is some people grab onto that quite readily and understand the high-level value, and others struggle with, yeah, but what about my organization and the issues I'm facing? And I think Kathy Taylor today, and, you know, this is where you wish the whole world was here, because I thought she did, as Amy has indicated, just an excellent job of demonstrating how we move to that high level, right? How what we're trying to do here is not about what crisis intervention needs or Boys and Girls Club needs or whatever. It's about what the sector needs and could benefit from. And I thought she did an excellent job of helping us understand and start to use different language around it being a policy organization, not a service-driven advocacy group. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Not to prolong this topic, because it gets a little bit off the topic of directly what's happening in Saskatchewan, but when you said globally, I thought, okay, well, within Canada, how many provinces are doing this right now, and is the goal eventually not only to have a provincial organization, but then do you all start to support each other provincially so that you have a Canadian network?
Well, and some of it is happening already.
So okay.
and has been emerging over the last 10 to 15 years. So Kathy referred to a couple of earlier iterations of some attempts to have a provincial nonprofit in Ontario. So that's happened. In Alberta, they have
the Calgary Chamber of Charities and in Calgary, and then they also have one in Edmonton, and now they're talking about coalescing that into a provincial initiative. We've seen some of these things kind of come and go over the years as they've evolved, as they've changed, as opportunities have come up. So nationally, there is an organization called Imagine Canada, which speaks, their focus is more on those nonprofits that are also charitable organizations, but they do look at the nonprofit sector as a whole. And so they look at very high level issues and particularly at efforts that could be done with the federal government that affects organizations, and then provincially there are organizations like the Ontario Nonprofit Network or what SNP could do that would work at that more provincial. But the idea is we're all talking about the same issues and we all have the same challenges and we have the same needs. So when we talked about lacking data about the sector here in Saskatchewan, that's right across the country. A national survey was done, it's almost 15 years ago now that was done, and the federal government didn't continue its commitment to doing that on a regular basis. So Imagine Canada is lobbying the federal government to undertake some of that work. But I know in Alberta, within their provincial government, they're also talking about doing a survey. So there's all of these things, and certainly lots of opportunity to stay connected, but when we're talking provincially, we have a different context and a different government and different, regulations and legislation that we work under that would not be applicable to another province. So there's times when it makes sense to do that together, and there's times when it is better done at a more local or provincial level.
Right. So what's next? I mean, where to go from here? How many people do you want signing up to be part of this? I mean, obviously everybody, but where are you in that process? Is that part of the goal of today, is to start saying, okay, let's start registering people, let's start creating this network?
Well, this year, or a year ago maybe even, we really looked at that very question about remembering that we are a group of people who run organizations outside of this work. So what could we do? How could we do it? How can we keep the, how can we whet appetites for the value and engage people? So we created a charter for the seven of us as members of the nonprofit partnership. And then we created a sort of a second tier, which Kathy Taylor, I think I would put in there, working groups or sort of alliances that we can call upon to do a piece of work if we want to, or who we have a sort of a more, a clearer relationship with. And then we have affiliates, which is anyone who wants to be involved. And most people have signed up at that level, and they receive the newsletter. They'll receive all the research information we put out and so on, the social media side of things. Ideally, there's 6,500 nonprofits. We would like 6,500 nonprofits at one of those levels, right? And the only reason why there might not be more at the membership level is we aren't sure how to navigate that, because we're all the same at the table. Tracy has taken a sort of a, she may not like this, but a bit of a, what I would say, a lead.
Brace yourself, Tracy.
Well, a lead, she has shown leadership in this group around sort of convening us, taking notes, making sure our work plan stays on track. She's provided some considerably more in-kind support through her administrative team to establish our Facebook page and our Twitter account and messaging out in our social media. And that has been an essential piece of our capacity to move forward. So as we gain momentum after days like today, and after people see, you know, they're hungry for what we want to share around the research, hopefully that can grow a little bit, and so much doesn't sit on Tracy's plate in her organization, and other people pick that stuff up, and we start to share it as we grow. But we really aren't sure what that looks like yet.
But, go ahead.
I think it was interesting when you asked about sort of what's changed between
the summit in 2012 and this year, is what I observed is that, I mean, people were very engaged when they came to the 2012. They were very interested in the conversations, but it seemed much more cautionary than today. There was huge energy around the survey results and huge energy around hearing what Kathy's shared in terms of the story of ONN. And at the end of the day, after the table conversations, continued huge energy around, we want to support this work, which that has moved considerably from where we were 5 years ago, for sure. So that's really encouraging. Mm-hmm. It also creates expectations on how we do that. How do we engage people in a meaningful way in this work? And so that's what we will be taking away from today and really thinking about. What does that look like? What could we network around? Are there a couple of issues that, you know, emerge out of the survey results and out of the feedback from today that we could maybe, you know, bring people around tables and really dig into some of this work? So
each of you has two very separate hats to wear. You've got your network hat and then you've got your organizer. And as you sit around the table and you talk about what you are now going to take on, it's exhausting to think of how you will deal with the one hat and then the other hat. It's a huge responsibility. Is it a coincidence that it just wound up this initial group of you, that it wound up being you? Is that just a fluke or what?
We pretty much appointed ourselves, and it goes back to that meeting in February of 2012, where there was, you know, 17 people attended that national summit. I think 9 of us came together in February to kind of talk about what we had heard and what were we thinking, and to say, you know, we'll look around the table. Are we in? Are we doing this? And just about everybody said yes. And so we've had a couple of people who have had to step away since then, and a couple of other people that have come on. But the commitment to the work is still there, absolutely. And we took it upon ourselves, and nobody has been banging down our doors to take it away from us or to say that, no, you shouldn't be doing this.
Well, who would? Well,
and that's exactly what people say. I don't know who else would do this,
right,
because there isn't any one organization in our province whose mandate that this kind of work would fall under.
Right.
And so I think as long as people can see that we're still finding ways to engage them and that we're moving forward, I feel like we've got a ton of support with us and behind us.
Well, and it's, you know, we were the coalition of the willing to move it forward and to, you know, and you say it's exhausting, but it's also energizing. So we get a lot of energy about what we can get done and hope for the excitement that was in the room today and how people are energized and want to see more and are willing to step forward and give us support .
I think it also speaks to the fact that, you know, why do we work for nonprofits? Because we believe in what we're doing.
Yeah.
There's a passion there, and I think that extends to this nonprofit partnership that it's exciting.
Heidi, were you actually about to say something?
I was.
Oh, good. Go for it. You're exhausted from laughing so much, Dan.
I'm just going to say today, the reaction by the MPOs today was what has validated the existence of the SMP. And it was very obvious by, you know, the pictures that they were taking and the conversation. And like you've all said, the energy, and that's the validation, I think, that the group needed to move, the partnership needed to move forward.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, it's a ton of work, but it's important. So
I'm an impatient person. I'm going through the results of the table talk conversations and just preliminarily and just based on looking at them. I think back in 2012, there was a bit of that who is the SNP and a bit of that hesitation on what can this group do for me and a lot of feeling out the waters. I think now there is a lot of the, okay, we're here, and now even just in what I'm reading, there's just a lot of energy in the language that's here, a lot of encouragement, even in the language and what is on paper here, a lot of encouragement, but a lot of really good
ideas here, and not the where we saw before the kind of, I don't know what to write down and I don't know what to expect of this group and I am not sure what you're asking of me, more type question. There's a lot of deep responses in this, and I'm looking forward for all of us to be able to really weed through here. And I think today's opportunity and today's summit, we had a tremendous group. We had great speakers, and I think that all of the participants and the delegates that came together will help set our strategic sails in motion and put us on course for sort of the next phase in this journey.
Can you, to quite pointedly put you on the spot, can you share any of the some of the feedback?
Okay. There's so much in here, and because we asked some pretty big questions, but there is some really, really good. The one thing I really want to point out, though, that is prevalent in here, and just it goes back to something I think that you asked earlier that we were talking about, is, you know, that when you said something about do the public understand,
yes,
you know, how important nonprofits are, that's one of the things that is you know, coming through loud and clear in here. But I really don't necessarily believe, as much as, you know, we talked about how many people work in here and the economic impact on the province, what would happen if nonprofits, those 80,000 people, did not exist, were not supporting, what would happen to our province, and what would the state of our society and the communities that we live in, what would happen to our children, what would happen to our vulnerable, what would happen to in everything around you. And people really stop to think about how our lives are so deeply connected to nonprofits, and in ways that they really don't even think about, through culture and through family services and through so many sports clubs and recreation and faith-based and, you know, and all of, so many things. People don't understand how deeply connected their lives are.
Putting on the organization hat for a second, do you sometimes feel taken advantage of, or not taken advantage of, but just sort of taken for granted? That's what I meant. Do you sometimes feel taken for granted because it's just assumed that, you know, that there are these programs available that are helping people? And no, you think, Heidi, you're shaking no.
No, absolutely not. You don't think of, I mean, who's going to take, for us, for example, for Boys and Girls Clubs of Saskatoon,
yeah,
are kids going to take advantage, or, you know,
Yeah.
Take for granted our programs? I mean, absolutely not.
Okay, good.
It's just what you need to do because there's a need in the community, bottom line. So you don't even go there.
I think there's a lack of understanding, mm-hmm, I think, in some areas on what it is. You know, and I think in some areas, especially in the family service agencies in the community, there's people that have a misunderstanding of who we are. So a lot of it, they think it's government-run services, mm-hmm, where it's not. It's
right,
community-run services.
Right.
So there's sometimes a misunderstanding of what those services are. And so you would make some assumptions, perhaps, that, well, they'll always be there. Because that's what they are.
Yes.
So there's maybe some misunderstanding of how those services come to be and the history behind them and how they're supported in the community. Mm-hmm.
So on a network level, the economy of the province, the non-for-profit sector is making such a huge contribution to the economy of the province, a lot of people don't know that. When is it time to release the statistics so that the province of Saskatchewan knows just what would happen without this massive revenue source called nonprofit? When is that?
We'll be doing this over the next few months is because there's a lot of the data that was presented today. We haven't had a chance to really dig deep down into it and see what some of the correlations are between other pieces. So we want to take our time and really make sure that we're trying to understand the data and what it's saying, and that we're presenting it in a way that that furthers our work as a collective, but also really supports the sector in sharing the messaging around how important we all are. So we want to make sure that we do that well, and it's not just a bunch of numbers, but that there's some narrative that goes around that.
Sure.
I think we're at a place in our province, at least at some level, where as we, you know, mine that information and pull out things that will be meaningful, we are also at the same time, I think, priming CBOs to be ready to talk that talk when it happens. I think we are becoming a more sophisticated group across the province, and I think we're feeling like we're ready to not be an a la carte part of our society and what happens here, but rather an essential part of who we are in our communities, and our voice is getting a little bit louder every day. And it's not loud in the context of being either or, but both and. And I think we're tired of, and I tired is sort of an interesting word because I don't mean that literally. I just mean the time has come for people to understand that 7% of the GDP in this province is generated through the work of nonprofits. That all the other numbers that we've just poured out here, that $154 billion in volunteer time is provided to this. Those are numbers that are profoundly impactful, and people will be, as they were today, blown off their chairs. And that gives us power in terms of elevating who we are and what we contribute.
I'm odd this way, but is it a coincidence that this group of you that have sort of taken this on are, yes, Ingrid, are women? Is it a coincidence? Is this a silly thing to raise?
No, I don't think it is a coincidence. I think women are by far the largest representation of gender working in the sector.
I was going to ask that, but I wasn't sure whether it was going to be politically correct to ask that. So that's true.
It's a reality. So I don't think it is coincidence.
How does that happen? Why does that happen? I mean, it's a good thing, but is it?
Well, I think this is one of the things that we're going to see change. We are fairly paid people in our work. We are educated. We are entrepreneurial. We are this beautiful sweet spot between the private and public sector. We have so much to offer, and we believe that. I would say a generation ago, it was still the concept of being around the church basement table. And I believe part of my work in this on a personal level is a legacy project. So when I retire, and it'll probably be longer than that, but when I no longer am working in this sector, young men and women coming out of commerce and agriculture and social work and wherever they're coming out of will have a great interest in working in this sector because it's a viable living, it's a credible living, it's a reputable living, and we want to be able to ensure that systems and appreciation is in place. And I, at a really high level, that's why I'm here a lot.
Anything else any of you want to wrap up that sort of hasn't been discussed? You all seem incredibly positive leaving this day, probably more so than you absolutely expected.
It's very re-energizing, reaffirming. We needed this, I think, to fuel our own fires and to keep us going, but also to know that we're going in the right direction, we're doing the right thing, that this is important, and there's support for it.
So for people who want to learn more about the work that you're doing, you do have a website.
We do.
The website address is?
SaskNonprofit.ca.
Okay.
And people can sign up to receive the emails there. We encourage people to follow us on Facebook and Twitter as well. We have resources available. We'll be posting some of the initial survey results within the next week or so. And we want people to sign up and to stay engaged with this work and to continue to build and expand that network.
And also people that aren't working within the nonprofit sector to go to the website to see some of this data that's coming to light, right, to come to appreciate what it is that, that you guys do. So when's the next summit?
We feel today, next year.
Well, I mean, is the goal to make this an annual gathering?
Or? I don't know if it's our goal yet, but what we do realize is this ability to come together and sit with each other and tell the stories and watch the reactions and generate energy is absolutely worth it. And, you know, it will certainly be on part of our planning as to whether or not it happens in 6 months or a year or 2 years. We don't know that, but it is clearly what needs to happen to continue to embrace.
And maybe it's not one summit. Yeah. Maybe it's a series of regional visits, right? I mean, I think we need to think about going forward again, you know, what our objectives are and what's the best way to achieve that. Mm-hmm. And
focus groups.
Or, exactly.
Right, in order to meet some of the expectations that I think we raised today. There's multiple ways of doing that.
I wish you all the amazing ability to balance work life and private life because you're taking on such a huge initiative. But you're doing it because you must and you care, and it's what you're driven to do, and it shows. So,
one of my friends said to me once, who's a marathon runner, she said to me, people ask me all the time, how do I do it? And she said, because I can. And I think that's what we are. Like, we just do it because we can.
We can and we want to.
Right on. Well, thank you for sharing the end of a very long day with me, and you may now proceed with finishing your cookies. and great, I look forward to finding out what happens in a month from now, in 6 months from now, in a year from now. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks for listening. Music for Saskapes is provided by Saskatchewan-born singer-songwriter Jeffrey Straker. Saskapes can be downloaded from iTunes, Google Play, the Saskapes app for Android devices, and all of the other major podcasting apps. Stop by and say hi to us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Saskapes. I'd really appreciate it if you stop by iTunes and give us a review or star rating. That boosts the podcast series in the rankings and more people get to hear your stories. Now, if you know an individual, a group, a town that has a story to tell, I'd love to hear from you. Contact me and I'll let you know what's involved in sponsoring your own episode of Saskapes. There's no shortage of stories to be told here under the land of the living skies. So until next time...